Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is publicist of For Kensington Books, Jane Nutter. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for having me on.
So happy to have you on. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have been at Kensington for about 7 years, a little over 7 years now, where I am the communications and marketing manager for romance, which is really fun. I love it so much. Mm-hmm. I got into publishing because I attended the Columbia Publishing course, which is a course, 2 month course that they do during the summertime. And I joined the course with the intention of getting into publishing specifically to work for romance. So that's a mission accomplished on that end.
Mm-hmm.
I read my first romance, got hooked early, read my first romance at about age 13. The book was Ransom by Julie Garwood, the Scottish romance with like a English woman and the Scottish man, which was, you know, I was like, oh, what's this? You know, it felt naughty. It was given to me by an aunt who probably didn't know there was sex in it. So thanks, Candy. That was fun. strangely enough, my background is not in publishing or marketing or communications. My background is actually in theater. I attended NYU, got my BFA from Tisch. So I have a theater background.
Mm.
But while it's kind of a unique way to get into publishing, I think of it as a cool extension because when you deal with theater, you're still dealing with storytelling and storytellers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So coming into it in a different sort of roundabout way, and also with theater being very highly collaborative, publishing was also highly collaborative in nature. So I feel like it really set me up well. And yeah, I love Kensington and I'm so blessed to be working with books that I love to read.
I love this. I love this so much. I love you were to combine the things that you love and to a job that, you know, pays the bills. And so like you get to be connected within a passion of romance, you know, and you get to spread the romance. You can be a romance fairy, godmother.
Yes, exactly. It's so fun.
So let's talk about your job. What does your day-to-day look like?
So at Kensington, our departments are integrated. So we do communications and marketing. So mm-hmm. two hats. Day-to-day really depends. It changes a lot depending on what books are coming up, what I'm working on. But generally, I spend my time like pitching books to media and to bloggers and Instagram and communicating with them. Then also communicating with authors. Brainstorming potential partnership ideas with different organizations or reaching out to outlets to do fun partnerships, lots of internet sleuthing, you know, to make sure I'm finding the right people to get our books in front of the right audience, just sort of keeping things on deadline, writing press releases, sending out books is obviously a big part of what we do since we want to make sure we get those early copies into big mouths, hands. Mm-hmm. So books and book kits. And then, I mean, we work so far out that we've started to actively plan and work on books that are coming out a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
So I often don't know like what month it is or what day of the week it is. I just get really lost because I'm already thinking about December 2021 and it's October 2020. So it's very, we work so far in advance that there's a lot in the mix. So it really depends. But my my favorite thing about my job is that I get to work directly with these authors that I admire so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a humbling experience to be a fan of an author before you get to work with them. And all of a sudden you're talking to them regularly and helping them craft their campaigns and reaching out to people about their books and on a regular basis. And it's like, oh my God, I can be a professional fangirl at other people with these books.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's just really great. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Mary Jo Putney.
Mm-hmm.
I always have been for a very long time. And when I was interviewing at Kensington, I mentioned Mary Jo Putney, who is we are the publisher of Mary Jo Putney, and they had me do a potential like sample marketing and publicity plan for a Mary Jo Putney book. So that was, in a way, I had Mary Jo Putney to thank for my career. So thanks, Mary Jo.
Oh,
great. You know, it's like, it's such a nice thing to be able to work with these authors that you admire. And then, you know, to help them get the readers that they, that are out there. It's just really remarkable. And that's my, definitely my favorite thing about my job.
I love working with you guys. Like something I've worked closely with Kensington. I would just say, like, I'm really grateful for the partnership, like for the level of like even just sending the authors, your quality of authors that come into the show. I love, you know, interviewing them. I love the campaign kits. Like it tells me, spells out everything I need to know about the book, you know? So you guys do a really good job. I want to commend you for that.
Oh, we love working with you too. I mean, it's so fun. It's a two-way street, you know? It's like, I can't get the books into the hands of the readers without people like you that evangelize them as well. You know, it's like I can shout into the void, but if nobody in the void is listening and helping with their megaphone, you know, it's like we can all megaphone together.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's talk about bookstagrammers and book reviewers. What tips would you share with them? What should book reviewers should know, like, you know, coming from your standpoint?
Well, I love Bookstagram because it's so positive, which is so great. I really love that it's such a great community of people like really supporting each other and supporting authors in a really fun visual way. I mean, they say the cover speaks of, you know, a million words, and it's totally true. And the way that people come up with these photos is amazing. I mean, I take photos on my phone. I'm like, how do these people make this happen? But I would definitely say, reach out to us. We 100% want to hear from you. We want to know you. Don't be afraid. Just email us. Like we're ready. Because I mean, not only does it save us time, you know, from trying to find you, but then it also gets you added to our internal list and we can contact you about other books. I'd say probably 75% of the time when someone contacts me saying, oh, I want X, Y, and Z book. I'd really love to feature it on my page. It sounds really great. About 75% of the time, I send them at least one other book in addition to it when they one they didn't request. Because I'm like, oh, and then I look up their page and I'm like, oh, hey, I see that you also like X from this author. I think you'd really like this other upcoming book. I have copies. You want that too. So it's like, you'll more than likely get exactly what you ask for. And then, but you might get a bonus and discover another author that you didn't know about. So when you're making contact, I find what's especially like for the first time or, you know, even within the same company, just a different, like if you're reaching out to a colleague of mine, always, I mean, obviously disclose what your page is and your stats and things like that, if you have those, but also tell us like what you like, you know, like the specific subgenres that you like or tropes that you like, because it really helps us connect the dots to your taste, like right away. And so we can plug in like, okay, this is what I have, this is what they like. And so not only does the reviewer like it, but then they also know that their audience wants to know about that book too. So it's really helpful. So even if it's like a comp title, like, oh, hey, I really love, you know, Julia Quinn. And I'm like, okay, cool. Then I have Ella Quinn for you. I mean, they have the same last name, but they write similar books. You know, so it's like, oh, I have this, you know, so it's helpful just for us too. Just like, tell us what you like and we can make sure that you're getting the right things from us.
Yeah, I really love it. I think I mentioned to you guys, because I was like, I just read Priscilla's latest novella and it's set in Chicago. And I was like, oh, by the way, I really love it. And I mentioned, I was like, oh, I just moved to Chicago. So I needed more Chicago books. That's basically like where I'm coming from. And I got a message. I don't know which one of you guys were like, you need to read Love at First because it's set in Chicago. And I was like, perfect. Like, it was like, you know, like even just looking for, you're looking for a trope or you're looking for a comparable author, you're always looking for the next recommendation. You know, what should I read next? You know, because romance readers are voracious readers. And so it's kind of fun just to be like, oh, if you like this, then there's all these other books that you can check out. So.
Well, if you're looking for Chicago, you should also check out Shannon Schroeder's O'Leary series and the Love at First Sight series. Love at First series. They're both set in Chicago.
Okay. I'm adding them to my TBR. So, awesome. So let's talk about Kensington titles and talk about women's titles and backlist. So which authors or books should we pick up during the backlist and might not be the new shiny object, but they're hidden gems that we should definitely look for?
What's cool about Kensington is that we have, especially in our Zebra imprint, which is our main romance imprint, we have a lot of really good, solid backlist from authors like Hannah Howell and Debbie Macomber and Cindy Eden, Susan Wiggs, Laurie Foster, Jana Daly. But I really, when you sent me this question, I really thought about it because I was like, I want to give people the like the hidden gems that like I reach for over and over again, even though they're in my office. Like I have them on like a little special shelf. So some of my personal favorites in terms of backlist books that people should definitely check out are Magnate by Joanna Shoup. Magnate is such an awesome book. It is one of my favorites probably that I got to work on so far at Kensington. It's from the first book in her Knickerbocker Club series. It's set in Gilded Age New York. It follows a powerful, like robber baron type steel tycoon guy who's rough around the edges because he grew up poor in the Five Points. But you know, he's self-made man. And he, the heroine is, approaches him because she wants to open up her own stockbroker agency. Cause she's really good with facts and figures and numbers and has really good intuition for stocks. And so they get caught, of course, in a compromising position and it goes from there. But it's such a, it's one of my favorite things where it's like the cross-class romances. Even though he's rich, he still has the like scared little poor child on the street inside. So it's just great. It's so good. The whole series is good. I highly recommend it. And another one that I love is called The Name of the Game by Jennifer Dawson. It's a contemporary romance. Oh, actually also set in Chicago. So there you go. And it's one of the books from her Something New series. It's very sexy, very, very contemporary. It's like hip. It's very cool. The characters are really cool. You will want to know them. This one is it's a family saga, so it's siblings. You know, each book is about a different sibling. This one is a guy. He's a professor, so he's really buttoned up, and he's really big into fitness and running. And the heroine is a baker, so she's really anti, you know, anything that doesn't have to do with sugar. And they're very clashy, but you know, it's all sexual tension. And Jennifer does such a good job with the tension element and really putting these people together who on paper seem like they would just not work out at all into people you super root for. That one is one of my favorites as well that I've worked on. Two hidden gems for sure. And then another one that's sort of out of the box, which is really cool, is it's a book called All In by Simona Arnstedt. She is what they call the queen of Swedish romance. Simona is Swedish. She's basically the only person who was writing uplifting fiction in Sweden because, you know, they're more known for their dark and twisty snowbound thrillers. So they were kind of like, wait, happy endings exist. So we published the English US editions of these books, and they're super fun. All In is about, it's basically like a more intelligent 50 Shades esque type hero without the creepy factor, because he's a successful billionaire who runs a company, and he's trying to take down the other company, which is run by the heroine's family, and she's sort of caught in between them. And it's like really hot and heavy and rich people on yachts drinking champagne in Swedish summer when the midnight sun and never sets, and it's really unique. It's really unique. There's three books in that series, but All In is the first one. Another one that I love is, for paranormal fans, is called Blood Assassin by Alexander Ivy. It's in her Sentinel series. It's not part of her Guardians of Eternity series, which is her well-known vampire series that's long running. But this series, it just had the kind of a cool X-Men vibe because the characters had kind of special powers. And there was a whole really awesome paranormal world building there that was, I found really unique. And the hero was like the strong, silent person who had like been brooding over the heroine, who was like this kick ass, like warrior chick. It's really fun. I just really fell in love with that book. And the hero on the cover is bald because, you know, and that was just like really eye-catching in the store. And then for like really cool action books, you have Mandy Baxter's U.S. Marshall series and Sydney Bristol's Hot Rides series. Both are, well, one is law enforcement. The other one is like more like a Fast and Furious because it's cars. But they're both really fun, action oriented, lots of action, lots of tension, lots of heat level. And those are really fun. Lots of intrigue, really fast paced. Those are really cool as well. And then I would be remiss in mentioning, not mentioning that we have a bunch of really great backlist novels from Sylvia Day at Kensington. They're actually her historical novels. So when you think of Sylvia Day, you don't think, wow, she writes really good historical erotica. But she does. And it's she actually started out writing that before she started writing her other series. So that's always cool. So if you're a fan of Sylvia Day, definitely check out her historical backlist. It's the same. It's signature Sylvia Day. It's just, you know, corset unlacing instead of, you know, taking off lingerie. And then for fantasy romance, which is another thing that I love that there don't think there's enough of in the world, is Jesse Kennedy's 12 Kingdom series. We published the first three books in that series, and they're just so great. I just love the way she treats all of her heroines with such respect. The heroines are all different. You know, one from the like really damsel in distress, pretty girl sister to the one that was a, you know, trained to be a warrior to the one that had sort of magical abilities, and the way that she just builds them in this world and how she integrates the heroes into their lives. It's just really, really great to see the fantasy elements being really not overtaken by the romance and the romance not overtaken by the fantasy. So it's a really perfect mix. And then another one that's great is, it's not too far backlist, but it's Stripped by Zoe Castile, which is so amazing because it's basically Bridesmaids meets Magic Mike. So the hero is like a professional dancer.
He's a stripper.
He's a stripper. But it's like, you know, the way that she treats it, Zoe herself used to manage a club, so she knows that world. And the way that she treats the, you know, the it, you know, being a stripper is just his job. It's not like a salacious thing, or it's not like, oh my god, it's taboo, you know, it's just like it's fine, you know. So it's just like the way that it's handled is so great. I mean, who doesn't want to have read a book where like literally the hero and heroine like have sex on the Wonder Wheel in Coney Island? Like crazy, like so intense stuff. Like that book is really fun. Just like that's, you know, that's sort of the image I'll leave you with on that book.
So I have to tell you, I love that series. Like it just got better and better each of those books. Like, yeah. And we were like, I don't know, they were so amazing. But I have to tell you, I've been going in Amazon and just taking screenshots of the books, and I'm like, okay, adding them to my TBR, all of these definitely awesome hidden gems. I love Joanna Shoup. I love Jeffy Kennedy. Like, you're like so, and I'm just realizing, like, oh my gosh, I can go back to the backlist, you know?
Yeah, I know, right? It's like you come in the middle of something or a different series, and you're like, wait, there's more?
There's more. So let's talk about anticipated new releases. What books should we be in the lookout for?
So coming up in about a month, so December, we have Notorious by Minerva Spencer. It's the first in her Rebels of the Ton series. It is in it's a like historical rom-com, I'm gonna say, you know, history rom-com. It's really well, it's Minerva has such a way of integrating really strong feminist characters into historical romance, but feminist characters that don't feel modern, they don't feel out of place in the time frame, mm-hmm. Which is not an easy feat to do. So the heroine in this book is like a big follower of Mary Wollstonecraft, which is, you know, era appropriate. And the hero is actually half Algerian, which is totally unique in mm-hmm. the genre. His mother was English and his father was an Algerian sultan in an actual kingdom that exists. So it's historically accurate. And they, you know, of course it's compromising position romance, but the way that she writes and the way that she really sweeps you along with the characters, she's such a good rising voice. She's really, I think, on the cusp of really breaking out, in a way that I think, so I mean, I kind of compare her to a little bit to Joanna Shoup in the way that she writes. And so I hope that people really enjoy Notorious, because I mean, I certainly did. You know, I was like pulling an excerpt for something and I was like, oh wait, I've been reading a 60 pages in, I have to start doing my job again. Like, I'm just not reading this. I have to, you know, actually send this excerpt to the person. So that's definitely one to check out if you're a historical romance fan. It's not the cookie cutter historical romance that you've read a million times and you can't remember if you've read before. It's like, mm-hmm. this is definitely has a unique edge to it. And then we also, speaking of fantasy romance, because I love it so much, we have The Princess Knight by J.A. Aiken coming out in a month. It's the second book in her Scarred Earth saga. Mm-hmm. This one, it takes place right after. I would probably recommend that you read The Blacksmith Queen, the first book in the series, before reading The Princess Knight, since it does, it's not as standalone-y. It really does pick up right where it left off. Mm-hmm. After the first book, but there's no one like G. Aiken that combines like snark and kick-ass feminist fantasy warrior ladies. It's mm-hmm. like perfect catnip for right now. She's fabulous. I mean, and also under her other pen name, Shelley Laurenston, you know, but those are contemporary paranormals. This is straight up fantasy romance. And then on the rom-com side, we have coming out in January, Fairy Godmothers, Inc. by Sarana DeWild. It's the first in her new series that is all about, it's a rom-com, but it has like a magical twist. So it takes place in this town called Ever After, which is in Missouri. And it's a town basically populated with actual fairy tale characters. Oh. So there are these three fairy godmothers who live in the town, and they realize that their magic isn't working as well as it used to. And so they realize that what's happening is because the world doesn't have enough love in it. The love is sort of being leached out of the world, and it's not, you know, people are turning to other emotions like anger and hate and things like that. So they're like, what are we going to do? So they decide to turn the town, it's called Ever After, into like a premier wedding destination. But to make that happen, they need a high profile wedding to get the, you know, everybody's attention. So they turn to two of their godchildren, one of whom is a billionaire chocolatier, and their goddaughter, Lucky, who is misnamed because she's the unluckiest person basically ever. Bad luck follows her everywhere. She jokes about it. It's like a curse. Bad stuff happens to anyone around her except for her like best friend and her family that's like immune to her curse. And so when her fairy godmother Petunia calls her up and says, hey, this is what's going to happen, but we need you to get together with Ransom. It'll be a fake marriage. It's a fake marriage. It's fine. Problem is, Lucky is still in love with Ransom. It's her ex-boyfriend. Mm. So, you know, can the marriage, a fake marriage become a real one? Can they work through their issues? Can the fairy godmothers save the world and bring back the world's magic? That's fun. So it's a really breezy, fun series. Lots of wit, lots of humor. I really enjoy it. And the second book in the series, which comes out further afield, is in August. It's called Men Are Frogs, which is that one is based on the Frog Prince. So the Grimm's Brothers fairy tale is based on the Frog Prince, where the hero is a frog by day and a human by night. And there's like a tradition in the town where all the single ladies come and kiss the frog to see if they're the one that breaks the curse. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, our heroine is actually the one that breaks Chris in that one. But so it's really cute. It's so cute. And there's really a, you know, I think a big gap in the market. There hasn't really been a rom-com that, you know, incorporated sort of paranormal magical elements. So I think that people will really like this one. I think it's, I think people will really enjoy it.
I think so too. She looks so good.
And we also have, speaking of more, I mean, there's obviously a theme in the things I'm recommending because they're all sort of feminist, but.
Yeah, no, I loved us. Please keep sharing.
We have Duchess If You Dare by Annabelle Bryant. Annabelle is a USA Today bestselling author. This will be her debut in trade paperback. So that's really exciting for her on that front. It's the first in a new series as well. It's, I like to call this series, it's about feminist Regency Robin Hood. Because I can't help myself. Like, that's just, that's where my mind goes. Because it's about a group of women who are not high class. You know, all the, you know, most of the time in historical romance, the women are upper class. These women are normal working class or just normal people going about their business. And they seek to right the society's wrongs, where they're seeing corruption or they're seeing mistreatment or they're seeing social ills. Their goal is to fix it. So our heroine in this book is investigating the disappearance of a friend of hers and bumps into this Duke who's investigating something his bad his brother had done, and they figure out that's kind of the same thing. So they start investigating it together. So not only is it like a, you know, feminist take on historical romance, it's also about social justice, and it's also about, you know, men getting put in their place, because she's always like talking to him like, hey man, you got your privilege here and you got to use it for good, not for evil. So I think that's really fun. And I think it's a bold new take on getting some, to addressing, you know, more contemporary issues, but it, within the, through the historical lens.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I can't wait. These are so exciting. So now let's talk about reading taste. When it comes to romance, what is your favorite trope?
So because historical romance is my original jam, so to speak, my gateway into the whole thing, my favorite is definitely the social class differences. So I love it when the Duke falls for the maid or, you know, the shopkeep girl or whatever it is. I mean, even, you know, something like My Fair Lady, where it's like she's a flower girl and he's a, you know, professor. It's like just like those little differences in social class. I find it so fascinating, especially in a time where it's like, I'm a Duke. I can't really marry this non, you know, peerage girl, like, because like I'll be ostracized by society and I'll, you know, I'll, my family will never speak to me again and all this. There's a lot of it's like superficial stuff, but it's like the fact that it was really an issue back then where everyone really married within their own class. I love to see how authors, you know, really work that in a realistic way. Like, how do we make the Duke and the shopkeep girl like end up together in a way that makes sense and is satisfying in historically accurate way? So I love that. I also am a sucker for fairy tale adaptations. Like my favorite romance novel of all time, An Offer from a Gentleman by Julia Quinn, is not only a Cinderella story, but it's also a cross-class romance. So, you know, that one was real catnip for me. I also like, and this, you know, if you have any recommendations on this one, I would love to read this. I am dying for like an archaeology adventure romance, like old school Indiana Jones type stuff, but like without the misogyny. Like, where is that book? I want to read that book so badly.
So I need to dig into, but I know I interview Plot Twist, which is another podcast, and Megan Lane talked about archaeology, Egypt, kind of related. So I need to dig in, but I'll connect you because they might have some leads for you.
Yeah, because I'm super into that. It's just like, you know, I really have been looking. We have a book coming out late next fall by Mary Jo Putney that has some archaeology elements in it, and I'm like really excited. But like definitely like, you know, like old school serial adventure, but with romance.
I'm trying to think. I'm like, I know.
Yeah. Right.
Susan Barnes had a little bit of archaeology in her latest book, but it was not like action packed and it was really dark. So I don't think that would fit into it. But I feel like, and I feel like Kate Bateman may have written something related to it.
All right.
But I'm not positive enough. Like I read some of her backlist, but not all her backlist. Like, but I feel like when I interview her, she mentioned something related to it. But I'll connect you. I think that's a good, you know, search for, you know.
Yeah, definitely so, something I'm searching for.
Ask for one thing, yeah, for those.
Yeah, reports. For sure. It's really specific. You know, it's not even like a trope. It's just like a really specific ask. But
yeah,
I also really love like the forced proximity where you have to be with someone, or not necessarily like they're like stranded in a place or whatever. But I love it when it's like, it's like those great episodes of TV where it's like they're just bottleneck episodes where it's mm-hmm. like everyone is like in the same place working on their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. And I also really love like really brutal, broody, emotional heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Sarah McLean's One Earl Deserves a Lover, where the guy is so broody. And it's just like, I don't know why, but it's just like really great. And well done. Like, it's like, you know, the aloof guy I get, but there's a lot of aloof guys, but they're really like broody emotional guys. I'm like, I'm into that.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm into the broodiness. I don't know. I don't like it in real life, but I like it in romance, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I wouldn't want someone like projecting all that onto me in real life, but, you know, those broody guys that really torture themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, I don't know. It's like, maybe it's because their emotions are too big for them to like handle or something. It's great.
Yeah. So what has been a book that you read this past year that you can't stop gushing about?
Well, it's not a book, but I am so freaking excited for the Bridgerton series on Netflix. I can't even handle myself.
Me too.
Like, oh my God, when I started releasing the images on Instagram of the cast, I was just like, oh my God, it's real. What's happening?
Yes, it's so exciting.
I just remember them making the announcement and being like, what? That's not actually going to happen. I mean, Shonda Rhimes is going to put that at the bottom of the list. That's not really ever going to happen. And then all of a sudden it was like, wait, you mean Christmas? Like this Christmas? I'm dying.
Yes, it's like Christmas present. And, you know, after all the suffering that we have gone through, this is what we get. We had this Christmas present of the Bridgertons. In a diverse, basically, you know, Regency time, you know, the beautiful dresses, and yeah, it's mature, like, so it's not PG rated, so we're gonna get the theme, so it's all good.
Yeah, it's like I might not be able to visit my parents for Christmas, but at least I have the Bridgertons.
Yes,
gotta give me something.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I'm curious how it's gonna work with. You know, I know they're doing season one, it's the first book, but, you know, they'll probably put the Easter eggs of the preparation of the other.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. You know, like, expanded upon and what new characters may pop up, so.
Yeah. I mean, especially with Penelope there, you know, it's like, you know, she's obviously going to be in the, you know, and then she's later with Colin, so it's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I can. Yeah, I'm really excited. My husband's like not looking forward to having to watch that all day long.
Hopefully, it'll be just as delightful at the Babysitter's Club. Like, I did watch that over the summer and it was delightful. So, hopefully, it will just be delightful. Like, you know, a delightful time to just enjoy historical moments on TV. So,
I agree.
Awesome. So, tell us where we can find you online.
Well, I'm not. Really, I don't really have any like public facing online stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're a bookstagrammer or a blogger out there that wants to get romance, you can email me at jnutter@kensingtonbooks.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Jane, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatyourextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTOREAD10 to save. visit whatyournextblog.com/queenbeereads. What's Your Next Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What's Your Next Podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.